Time now for KRWG's StoryCorps. I'm Edmundo Resendez. When StoryCorps visited Mesilla and El Paso in February, StoryCorps recorded conversations between loved ones from our communities. Each Wednesday morning at 8:49 and at 5:48 in the afternoon, we will bring you these stories. Today, we meet Maureen Farr, who talks with StoryCorps facilitator Anaid Reyes. Maureen tells her story about taking a cross-country road trip with her dog, Max, a woman, a dog, and the open road.
When I closed the door, first thing I did is I sat in the car and I took a photo out the windshield of the snow and the everything. And then I backed the car out and I started to drive and I just went, wow, I'm doing it. And it was cold and I sat in the driveway for a minute and just looked and just thought, wow, I'm really doing it. Finally, I'm going. And it was pretty exhilarating, you know, to be heading off down the road. And I live on an island that you access by a big bridge. So when I got to the bridge, I took a photo. And I just felt like I was flying. You know, it's like I'm going up over the bridge and I'm heading off into this great adventure. And I didn't know where it was going to take me or what I would be doing.
How did having Max with you kind of enhance your experience?
Well, for one thing, if you have a dog, people will talk to you. And I found this in Silver City last year when I was there. I would walk, it was about 6 blocks to downtown from where I'm staying. And so every day I would take him and we'd go for a walk and we'd go downtown. I'd go to this great little place and have an espresso and then we'd walk back home. And people always stop you and ask, you know, what kind of dog is he? What's his name? How old is he? Is he friendly? Can I pat him? And so you get into conversations and I would be able to then say, well, we're traveling around the country, and that would lead into this whole other conversation. If I didn't have Max, nobody spoke to me. You know, they might say hi if it was a small town, but nobody really spoke to me. And I was really struck by that when one day I was sitting on the porch of the little cafe having my coffee, and Max was tied and sitting beside me. And these three women walked down the street, and one of them said, oh, there's Max. And I just looked at him because I'm going, I don't know who these women are. And they know Max. And I don't know how, you know, we must have met them somewhere, mm-hmm. but everybody remembers him. They don't always remember me.
Any particular person you met because of Max that, I don't know, maybe you're still friendly with or was very interesting character?
Well, there was one interesting character. We were staying in a motel somewhere. I think it was in South Carolina somewhere. And I had taken Max out and I was walking back down the corridor and this young man came along and he asked about the dog, what he was. And he said, would you take a picture with my phone of me and the dog? And I said, sure. And he said, I want to send it to my daughter. He was a truck driver and he was just passing through and he was probably like, I don't know, maybe 30. And so I took a picture of him and Max in the corridor and I helped him figure out how to send it with his phone. And he said, my daughter is going to freak out. So he's kind of stuck in my head, you know, as someone that, you know, just was very intrigued and wanted to reach out to his family from the road.
Looking back at the trip, is there something you would change as to how you went about?
No, because one of the things that I found was I thought I didn't want to do the usual tourist things. And I guess I did change as I went on the trip because I realized that, like, I wasn't going to go see the Grand Canyon because everybody sees it. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most powerful things of the whole trip. Was walking to the edge and seeing it, I just started crying at the immensity and the beauty. Yeah. So, no, I don't think there's too much I would change. It would be fun to have someone along, but that would change the whole dynamic. because then there's the negotiation of, well, do you want to do this or do you want to go there? Are you ready to stop or you want to keep going? Mm-hmm. Whereas with Max, whatever I do is okay.
Does Max not tell you, like, give you signals, so I'd rather not listen to that song or I'd rather stop here?
Yeah, he does let me know when he wants to stop. Yeah.
Wow. So I know you mentioned your daughter and how excited your daughter was.
Yeah.
Is that even, like, maybe a possibility to do a road trip with one of your daughters?
Oh, I think it would be fabulous. Mm-hmm. And my granddaughter, who's 12, I think would be really fun when she's, well, not even has to be older, but I think it would be really fun to go on a trip with her. Mm-hmm. And she and my daughter and I usually do some short, you know, 2 or 3 day trip together mm-hmm. every summer anyway.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we cover this, but is there like another memory? Because you do mention a couple of stories and memories, but is there another memory that just, that you feel you'll carry with you?
Yes, definitely. My son-in-law, Jonathan, when he was 18, he spent 3 months at Arcasanti in the Arizona desert. It's a planned community by Paolo Soleri, and it's never reached its full potential. His goal was to have like 5,000 people living in the desert in this wonderful community, and it's never really taken off that way. But Jonathan was so moved by the experience of being there for 3 months that when I was driving through, I decided to make a side trip and go to Arcasanti and take the tour and see what was going on. And when I got there, I took a picture of the sign at the parking lot and I sent it with my phone to Jonathan and just said, "Here I am, I'm here." And I went in and I was on the tour and we were in the amphitheater that's been built, and my phone buzzed, and it was Jonathan sending me a photo. And it still sort of gives me goosebumps because it was a photo of the amphitheater mm-hmm. that he had worked on building. And it was almost from exactly the spot where we were standing. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that connection that we made mm-hmm. in that place was... I think of it every now and then, and it just, you know, it really moves me.
Have you had conversations with him about
Yes, it? Yeah, yeah. And then he sent me several other pictures, but just the idea that I was standing in the very place where he, you know, he was curious as to whether it was ever finished, mm-hmm. and that he sent that photo right at that moment when I was there.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. It was such an amazing trip for me, but I didn't even think about my home. I mean, in the sense of like even visualizing it in my mind. And when I got home in May 1st, and I got out of the car and I went up to the door and I opened it and I went in and I went, wow, this is my home. This is where I live. It was like it was totally out of my head for 4 months. I didn't worry about it. I didn't think about it. And I just came in and I went, ah, cool. This is where I live.
I'm sure that's a great feeling. Too.
It is. Yeah. It was. It was a really great feeling.
Maureen Farr, who spoke with StoryCorps facilitator Anaid Reyes from a conversation recorded in Mesilla. You can hear this story and other local StoryCorps interviews online at krwg.org in the radio tab under StoryCorps. For KRWG, I'm Edmundo Resendez.